This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
It was a bitter relationship from the start. Really, from the start. Genesis chapter 25, verse 22 says that they were fighting in the womb. And it didn't get any better from there, for Jacob or for Esau. There was the battle over the birthright that Esau foolishly traded to his younger brother for a bowl of soup. Then there was the blessing, another deception, one where Jacob stole the firstborn blessing from his eldest brother by lying and deceiving their elderly father. Genesis chapter 27, verses 18 through 29. It was a horrible relationship, one that culminated when they parted with these words by Esau. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Chapter 27, verse 41. And those were the last words Jacob knew that his brother had said before he was told to run. Now it had been 20 years after that. After that conversation, when Jacob finally left the house of Laban with his wives and his children. And 20 years, that's a long time to think and to live with that situation. So when Jacob left Haran and God told Jacob to return to the land of his family, his father's, he probably knew that Esau was in the path and a confrontation was probably inevitable. And the assumptions began. And the context of those assumptions for Jacob was fear. When Jacob made the first move and he reached out to Esau, sending a messenger to his brother, asking for mercy and offering gifts, saying that I may find favor in your sight. Chapter 32, verse 5. But the messenger reported that rather than responding to Jacob's message, Esau was on his way to meet Jacob, but he wasn't alone. He had 400 men with him. And verse 7 reports that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, so much that he divided the people who were with him into two companies because he assumed that Esau was on his way to attack and kill them. And Jacob hoped that by making this decision, by splitting them up, that one company or at least part of his family would escape. But what if they don't? You know, What if they didn't escape? Even though all those preparations, they sound great, how did Jacob handle that worry, that assumption? It tells us in verse 9 through 12 of chapter 32, amid getting all of those preparations done, Jacob just stopped. Stopped what he was doing. Stopped his preparations, stopped his assumption, and he prayed to God. And in that prayer, he reminded himself of what God had told him. He reminded himself of what he knew was real. Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And then Jacob got back to his preparations for what he thought was an onslaught. He sent a gift of 580 animals with messengers to Esau to try to appease what Jacob assumed would be Esau's anger, saying, "I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward, I will see his face, and perhaps he will accept me." Verse 20. But Jacob still separated his family with the maids and their children first, then Leah and their children next, and finally his Rachel and Joseph last, assuming the worst. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 33. It had been a tense day. It was a tense day, a long day. In his misery, Jacob had spent the night in worry, wondering if this were his last day, wrestling with the angel of God, and working out the strategy to survive when the time came, when Esau attacked. And so when the time came to meet his brother, Jacob passed ahead of his family, and he bowed to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Verse 3 of chapter 33, waiting for the reaction that he was sure was coming. But it didn't. Verse 4 says that there was a very different reunion than Jacob expected. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. It wasn't the kind of reunion Jacob expected, the reunion Jacob had anticipated or soon would have happened over those 20 years that he was gone and thinking about this situation. And then Jacob responded with this to Esau. Inasmuch as I've seen your face, it's as though I have seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Verse 10. And as you know, the sweet account continues of two brothers trying to give each other gifts and Esau offering to provide protection for Jacob on his journey, assuming Jacob is returning to his parents' home. But as you know, Jacob continued on his journey without him. As far as we know, they never met again. It's a bittersweet story of two lifetimes of pain, lifetimes of struggle and heartbreak. It's an account of 20 years of Jacob being deceived, just as he had deceived. And an important message, that during that time, Jacob's mind anticipated what life would hold for him, and the 20 years of silence with his brother, expected what others would say and do about him, based on, well, maybe his own, guilt, insecurities, quite honestly, assumptions about things that he knew nothing about. 20 years of what he knew nothing about, nothing to expect. So how did he do it? How did he handle that unknown? That's an obvious answer. You heard it earlier, right? It's an easy answer. He sought the face of God. He sought what he knew was real. He sought the promises of God, and he sought out what God told him was real. You know, there are a lot of assumptions out there. And honestly, I think that we make a few of our own, about our lives, about the world, about others, and how they'll react to us, this or that, and what we think they said or didn't say, a look, a text, a Facebook post, about who they are, what they are thinking, and we are losing precious time in those assumptions. We're losing time, and it's time to face that reality. It's time to seek the face of God. It's time to remind ourselves of the promises that he made to us. No assumptions, just the reality. And it is for this that I bow my knees today.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.